This is a recording of ISIS International from the Commission on the Status of Women, held in New York in March 2010.
ISIS International, documenting feminist visions, creating critical communications, and strengthening social movements.
Good evening. My name is Rehana Khilji, and I am from Pakistan. And within Pakistan, I am from the province of Balochistan, which is at the southern part, and we share our border with Iran and Afghanistan. So maybe you can well imagine the security situation in Balochistan due to the recent insurgency and due to the recent conflict that is going on. And another thing is important about Balochistan, because due to the refugees influx, when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, at that time a lot of refugees, they came into the northwestern frontier province and also in Balochistan. So we had this tremendous pressure. Whenever anything happens in Afghanistan, definitely it has a lot more effect on our province and the northwestern province, because we are the same people, the same language and everything. But it's just that when the British, they left the subcontinent, so the Durand Line that was divided both Afghanistan and Pakistan, but on both borders in these two provinces and in Afghanistan, predominantly the people who live, they share the same cultures. So whenever there is any problem across the border, we have to bear the burden. I work for an organization that is a local organization that is called HOPE, Humanitarian Organization for Poverty Eradication and Environment. Here I am representing the GCAP, Global Call to Action Against Poverty, and specifically the feminist task force of the GCAP. We held this tribunal in Balochistan, and it was for the very first time in the history of Balochistan that women, they got a chance to come out of their homes, and then they speak to the people and they present literally their testimonies. There were chances, like maybe some of them were involved in capacity building training and seminars sometimes, but for the traditional tribal women to come out and literally present their testimonies and hold the state accountable for a number of things, and hold the international level people and the institutions accountable in their own simple words, was really like an enriching experience. And there were women who were really enthusiastic and they wanted to come, but due to the social taboos or due to the security reason, the ones who were not allowed to come from their public place to the from their private place to the public sphere, then we had to extend this facility to them that they were interviewed in their homes. So this is how we tried to reach to the women who were not even able to physically come, but their voices were carried to this tribunal. The respondents, we made conscious effort that we have the government in the respondent panel, in the panel of judges, so that the government is really involved right from the very beginning. And so they don't say that we don't know about this. We just don't know what kind of issues women are facing in relation to the impacts of climate change. And we also brought in the academia, and there were a lot of young ladies. See, the involvement of youth is very much important. There were 20 young ladies who attended this tribunal from the University of Balochistan. And on the testifiers were basically from six various districts of Balochistan. There were six testifiers were women and two male testifiers. And it is very much important for the context of Balochistan, since socially it is very strict and it has restricted mobility of women, and there are socio-cultural taboos for whatever reason. The main challenge for us was to gain the trust within the male community first, and then through them and through gaining their trust, and then reach to the women. And this is how the male were also involved in the process. So there were two testimonies that were presented by male, but this was good that they also highlighted specifically how the lives of the women have been impacted by climate change. Now I come specifically to the climate change, like how their lives have been affected. The women who presented their cases, some were from the agricultural background, informal, some of the informal laborers in the agriculture, and some of them were just doing the household work and also productive, and also doing this knitting and sewing and making embroidery and all these things. So they had various different backgrounds. But just to sum it up, I will just give you this flow of story. For example, a woman who is placed, this is one testimony that I'm quoting, in one of the rural areas of Balochistan. She just nicely defined that earlier on she had a small kitchen garden in the home. So she could water that kitchen garden and she could get free vegetable for herself and for her kids. This is maybe you can say 15 to 20 years ago, not very far away. And then she had one or two sheep in the house as a livestock, so the sheep could have feed her children with the milk, and also had the byproduct, and she could use the byproduct for the carpet weaving or for making sweaters or whatever. So there were a lot of benefits attached to this little livestock. And her husband, he worked in the field outside as an informal agricultural laborer. But the climate change, like the rise in the temperature and the prolonged drought that struck Balochistan a few years ago, and it is still existing, simultaneously what happened that underground water level went down, and there isn't enough rain, so people, the orchards of the people, the orchards started to dry up, and orchards were the basic prime livelihood source for these people. And now what happens, the man, he loses the job outside when he's working in the field, and the woman, she has to give up with the kitchen garden because due to the water scarcity, she loses some of her power. Like, she was empowered, like she could have free food within her own home, and then if she wants something from the market, maybe flour or anything else, she could always exchange these things with the neighbors, and then they could give her something. So she was slightly empowered. But what happens is that she slightly loses this thing, the power that is attached to the economic benefits that earlier she was getting on. Plus, now she is subject to a different situation. Now the man, he leaves the home and he goes to the city for the search of a job. So either for the family, there are two situations. Either the woman, she becomes the household head, and now she is taking additional burden. Now there are more chances that she might be subject to a different kind of violence because she's always remained inside the house. And when she becomes the head of the household, she will go outside. So the world that she's not familiar with, definitely, I mean, she's not well prepared for that kind of a world. So there are chances, a lot of chances of violence of different kinds. And then in the situation where we are, a woman is supposed to be modest, noble, and not complaining and all this. So, and even she's not aware of the laws and the policies that protect her. So there are so many things. See, poverty and the violence, we can see one connection right now over here. And then economic strength and economic empowerment and poverty and decision making. Earlier she could have made decision. I mean, this is even decision. Like, if she wants to take something from the neighbors and for exchange of maybe 2 eggs or something like that. This is small decision, but basically these decisions earlier on used to give her strength. Now she is losing her strength. And similarly, the family is affected. See, the poverty is a holistic phenomena. The family is affected more because now the children are also subject to violence. There are more chances because they have to, the woman, she has to take out the first baby boy. See, girls are also impacted in a different way because girl is already at home. She's working mother, we are working, helping with the mother. But the boy who has the privilege to go to school, he will be also taken out of the school. And now what he is doing, he is just helping the mother because the mother is now in the new role. And he is also, instead of going to the school, he is going to the child labor. He is either working on the nearby hotel as the child labor boy, or he is in the garbage picking. So these are the practical stories of Balochistan, the area from where I come. And similarly, there are other issues. For example, we are losing our indigenous skills. One of the women, she clearly said that earlier on she could weave carpets, and that was in her area, in her village, a predominant source of income for them. But now there are two things happening. They are losing that income source, one, due to the loss of livestock, due to the loss of rangelands. And number two, what is happening, that they are losing that indigenous skill as well. Because now it's difficult, now it doesn't mean anything for the elderly woman to transfer those skills to the younger generation. So we are losing things with the time. And we understand, we know that climate change and the environmental degradation is very much connected to the growing poverty in the region. And women, they being the caretakers of the primary natural resources, now are being affected more as compared to men, because these examples that I have given is that they are losing their existing power. They are already powerless to some extent when we compare it, even the women from Balochistan to other provinces, the well-off provinces. So, and when you compare it to the rest, I mean, they are already at the margin, yeah. So, this is local situation. And one more quick example that I want to share is that there were traditional women who used to pick up the herbs. So they were sort of like the health advisors for the family in the beginning. They had all this traditional knowledge, which kind of herb is good for what, for medication or whatever. And then they also used to dry them up and sell them up. And now, due to the dried rangelands and all these things, the indigenous skills, knowledge, we are losing because there is low literacy in Balochistan. And it's very much difficult. I mean, we don't have documentation, that kind of support. So these things are, we are losing them up along with the time. What is the challenge now? Yeah. What is the recommendation? Yeah. The thing is that these women, they hold the state responsible in their own simple words. And they hold the international institutions responsible in their own national. That if this thing is happening to us, we are taking care of our environment, but there must be something wrong in the wider context. So, end up with a question like, how do we think of meeting the MDGs in our context, which is very much important for us? Because these threats are keeping us away to meet our MDG goals, to meet our Beijing plus 15 goals, and to meet most of the other things. So, I will end up here. Thank you.
This speech was brought to you by ISIS International. For more audio reports, please tune into the ISIS website at www.isisinternational.org.